All right. Good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm Andrew, if you don't know me. And it's my privilege to look at this topic this morning. So I'm going to pray for us and then we'll begin. Father, it's really awesome this morning already to have been able to hear from Richard and Tracy and what you are doing in Wickham, in another part of our country, to shine a light for the gospel. And we pray now that as we think about this cause, that you call us to live out, and in our context here in Menai and in the relationships that we have here, Father, we pray for your conviction. We pray that your spirit would be moving in us to remind us that we are your hands and feet. We are to be those people to take the gospel forward, to introduce people to Jesus that they might put their faith in him. Yeah, please convict us of this and move us into action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favourite things during the week is Scripture. I love it, but it's actually been quite hard to get into the high school at Lucas Heights this year. I spent term one basically chasing them all term, and lots of unreturned phone calls and people unavailable. And so in term two, we asked Jess Solomon to take over. Jess is from our Saturday night service, and she's an ex-student up there. She's an ex-prefect, and she's also just recently done some prac teaching up there, so also an ex-prac teacher. So we thought, oh, surely Jess, she'll be able to get it over the line. But no, she had pretty much the same experience for most of term two. And so at the end of term two, we met up, and we said, well, what are we going to do? And Jess, she already had a plan. And she said to me that on the last day of school, she had a free day. And so she was just going to go up to the office and just sit in the office all day if it needed to be until someone came and talked to her. And so she did that. And not long into it, the principal walked by and said, oh, Jess, what are you doing here? And voila, just like that, a conversation with someone with the power to make something happen. And Scripture is now happening in the high school at Lucas Heights. Praise God, hey? Really good. And also I need to do a shout out. There's a few of our families from this church with kids at that school who've sent through emails or been part of the PNC to help make that happen as well. So it's good we're doing Scripture there. But that's what you do, isn't it? When you believe in something, you fight for it. If it's worth it, if you think it's important, then you'll see it through. Despite setbacks, despite discouragement, despite whatever you might face, you don't give in because it is worth it. This morning, we are, as you've heard, we're looking at a life marked by a cause. And that cause, quite simply, as you probably picked up from the readings, is to introduce people to Jesus. That's what I'll be speaking about. And so this is the talk where I get to talk about us as Christians being people with beautiful feet, as we heard in Romans. Before it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So someone with beautiful feet introduce you to Jesus. Somewhere along the journey of your life, might have been one person, might have been a few people, but someone has taken the time to talk to you about who Jesus is. You've been able to see it in their life lived out. You've been able to ask questions or just observe it to the point where you've been convinced, if you're a Christian here this morning, convinced that Jesus is Lord and Saviour, and you listen to that call and put your trust in him. Who was that person or people in your life? Can you think of them? That's the cause that we want to be living for. We want to be those people who take that good news of Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name will be saved, but how can they respond to the call if they haven't heard it? How can they believe if someone hasn't preached to them? That's what we want to be on about. It's pretty amazing, I think, as a church over the last 18 months. There's been a lot of stuff that we've been doing, particularly outside of the church walls. I'm not sure if you're aware, but right now at the moment, every single Scripture class in the Menai area that could possibly be taught is being taught. And we've got 8 first-time scripture teachers this year, which is really exciting, people giving it a go. We've been doing some evangelism training days. We had one of those yesterday, and we had Wayne Pickford come up from Berkeley sharing about his experiences of sharing the gospel in that community, giving us some practical tips. And then we went out yesterday and did a bit of door knocking, which we've done over the course of the last 18 months a few times, and saw some fruit of that from that. We're doing the food drive, as we've done year after year. We had Springbound and Summerfest, big kind of community-focused events. We've done a few of the Park Menai Market Days, and there's another one coming up in November, and we'll be part of that. And we've had some marketplace stalls, and something I'm excited about next month is we've got, last year we did PlaySpace in the park up there, to take our place-based groups out in the community. But this year, in September the 17th, we're actually going to do place-based in the marketplace. So we've got a place down there in front of, you know, Big W, where they often have groups through the day. We're going to run it there. And it's another way that we can be in the community, representing Jesus, connecting with people, and trying to build that relationship and trust. And as a result of all this stuff, we've run about a dozen One Life groups. And One Life is that short course that we do to introduce people to Jesus. It's that looking through the book of Mark, asking those questions, who is Jesus, and giving people the opportunity to make a decision on him. And as a result, we've seen a bunch of people put their trust in him for the first time, and some for the first time in a very long time. So I'm excited. We've been really busy, and we've been taking some bold steps, putting ourselves outside of our comfort zone. And there is so much, I think, that we can be giving God thanks for. I'm so thankful. Sometimes it's easy to complain, isn't it, and find the negatives, but I think God has been doing so much good. And there are some stats to go with it, and maybe we'll do this visually. And if I don't mind picking on this group here, let's just pretend this represents our whole church. And so there's about 10 people in that section there. And so remember, we did some surveys. And so can I get 2 people to put their hand up? Oh, all right, yeah, good, we got 2. All right, so let's just say in 2011, very Anglican, aren't we? That's not good. In 2011, we would have had 2 in 10 people sign the survey saying that they're regularly doing evangelism, sharing the gospel with friends. And then if we have 1 more person, 3 in the front row, yeah, that's it. Anyway, 3 out of 10 in 2016 were regularly sharing the gospel with friends. So there's an improvement there. And another stat, 3 out of 10 in 2011 were willing to and had actually invited someone to church. And then in 2016, we had 1 more person. Let's get 4 people. Yes, good job. We've covered it. All right, 4 in 10 were willing and had actually invited someone to church. Now, that's good, isn't it? There's an improvement over that time. It's not bad. But I don't know how you feel, but I want to see 10 out of 10 hands going up in both of those categories. All of us who call ourselves Christian and part of this church are willing to invite someone and have done so, or are willing to share the gospel with friends and family and are doing so. That's my aim. When I can do that, I'm going to retire, I think. Sounds good to me. Anyway, you might be thinking, well, yeah, that sounds like, you know, you might be up for that, Andrew, but that's your job. We're paying you to do that. That's not for me. Well, I want to say I've personally never felt gifted naturally as an evangelist, and I hardly think anyone does. That's my I just don't think many people do. And I think it's because we hear those stories about that checkout queue conversation that somehow sparks up, and then next minute they're sitting down with their shopping bags praying the sinner's prayer together. Right? We hear those stories, and then maybe there's, you know, 1% of us are naturally gifted in that way, but the rest of us just aren't. And so for the natural evangelist, we hear this kind of talk and just think, oh, why aren't you just doing it, people? It's a frustrating thing, that feeling like, well, why isn't everyone telling their friends about Jesus? He tells us to just go and do it. For the natural evangelist, it can be frustrating. But then for the average Joe, which is myself, and I think the vast majority of us, it can be daunting and it can be overwhelming. And we love to hear those checkout conversion kind of stories. They're so exciting, but then at the same time, it kind of raises the bar so high and in a really kind of weird interaction that you feel like you almost don't have the goods to even get in the game. And so, as an average Joe myself, I need to, and I think we all need to, keep reminding ourselves why this matters, why we're to live out this cause, why it's worth fighting for, why it's worth pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zones, why it actually matters more than anything else, because it has eternal significance. It will matter in the end forever. So I'm going to hit five short reasons why we want to keep on this cause, and then we'll do something practical at the end, which will be fun, won't it? All right, so point one, firstly, we're to do this, we're to live this cause for God's glory. That's first. It's not so that people escape hell and go to heaven. That's part of it. But first and foremost, it is all about God's glory. We saw that in Psalm 67. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." If that's God's goal, it's got to be ours too, to see all the nations, all peoples praise him. How many people are on the planet today? Does anyone know? 7 billion. I googled it and I got 7.5 billion today. Does anyone know how many people total ever? I googled that as well, and I think it was 107 billion. Anyway, that was interesting. Anyway, moving on. So the vision of Psalm 67 is that throughout the, and all of the Bible really, it's that all nations, all people, all of creation offers up to God the praise that he deserves. Okay? Now, earlier this year, an Australian research group called McCrindle did a survey, and they surveyed just 1,000 ordinary Aussies, and they found that 3% of the people surveyed had never heard of Jesus. 5% of the people surveyed had heard of Jesus but didn't know anything about him. And 23% had heard of him but only knew a few things about his life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I saw that, that really shocked me. Like, if that's an accurate reflection of all of Australia, then we're talking about 31% of Aussies, all Aussies, which is about 7.5 million people, range from having never heard of Jesus at all to knowing only a few things about his life. Now, I don't know, does that shock you? To me, that I was surprised that that's a lot of Aussies, 7.5 million, with hardly any knowledge, some never even heard of Jesus. But then also think about what the conversations I'm having in Scripture at the moment are, and it reflects that. The vision of Psalm 67 is that God blesses his people as they make his ways and his salvation known to the ends of the earth, all nations, all peoples, all creation, so that all would praise him. We're to go out. The Goscombes are in Wickham. We're here at this time, for this place, in this moment. We are to praise God in our actions, in our workplaces, in our families. That is our act of worship to God. And as we do that, we're to see others come to praise him too. We want to see God praised. That's first. Second, we do this because of God's compassion. In Matthew 9, there's a short summary, a snapshot of Jesus' life and ministry. And it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So we get a little snapshot of what Jesus' life and mission was all about. And we see that when he sees the crowds, he sees their harassed helplessness and he's moved to compassion. Our God feels that compassion for the lost. The question is, do we? Do you? And you might thinking, oh, you know, I just don't have that burning passion to go there and to reach the lost. Well, for me, I want to say for most of my life, I was the same. I think I felt the same. I could hang out with my friends and family who didn't know about Jesus, mates that I played sport with, or even just people in the street, you know, and I wouldn't instinctively have that burden to want to speak to them about Jesus. And I wish I could say otherwise. And I, you know, I'd sit where you guys are right now and listen to one of these kind of talks or sermons and somehow want to switch on my heart, somehow conjure up something within that would flick me into action and get going. But it never stuck. And for me, what I needed to do, which has brought about change, I think was just missing that first step, which comes up next in what Jesus says. In verse 37, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, we look at the world today and there is so much pain and anger and brokenness around us. And in my mind, there is no doubt that Jesus sees that same harassed helplessness in our world today. He sees, I think, the harvest is plentiful in our world because we are crying out for a shepherd, a leader, a saviour in our world. And so what does Jesus say we're to do? The very first thing he says to do is ask. Sometimes we skip straight to the workers and get in the harvest. And what are we going to do? The first step there is to ask the Lord of the harvest. It's prayer. It's to pray. Some of us might need to begin with prayer, asking God to change our hearts so that our desires, our burdens, our passions would line up with his desires, his passions, that we'd have his convictions, that we'd see that helplessness and have that same compassion that would move us into action. We might know to begin there. That's where I needed to begin, praying and praying and praying it through that God would change my heart. All right, three. We want to live this cause out because of the destination of the lost. I've been reading a book. It's this book. It's by Francis Chan. It's called Erasing Hell, What God Said About Eternity and the Things We've Made Up. And Francis Chan, he's a great preacher, great writer. I really enjoy his stuff. He's excellent. But this is not a feel-good topic, is it, at all? And the first line of his book reflects that. The first line of his book says, "If you're excited to read this book, you have issues." Which is true, right? Nobody wants to read a book on hell. No one. And that is why the book is called Erasing Hell, because that's what we want to do with it. You know, we want to erase it from our beliefs, from our worldview. We want to erase it from the pages in our Bibles. And we want to erase it, or we want to try and soften it or reimagine it, or so focus on certain passages to the neglect of others that we start to form a skewed picture, believe that sin's not really that bad, that judgment and wrath and hell, it's not really all there. It is a difficult doctrine, you know, but at the same time, this doctrine, without understanding it, We don't fully grasp the depth of God's gracious love for us. That God would make the ultimate sacrifice, the Father giving his Son, the Son giving his life to bear the punishment for our sin. Our sin, that rejection, that rebellion, our Creator has made us, poured out provision and love into our lives, and yet we reject and walk away. We deserve that judgment, and yet in his mercy, he would send his Son, and in his grace, he would give us life through him. If we don't hold on to this truth, then we don't fully have our hearts flicked alight by the grace of God. It's hard, but without it, we miss all of the goodness of God's love in our lives. and that conviction that changed us. That's the tension that we're to live with as followers of Jesus. We are thrilled, overwhelmed by the joy of the salvation that we've received, but at the same time, we're burdened, aren't we, for our loved ones who right now don't know Jesus. Because that's when this one hits home, doesn't it? When we think about that person in our lives, or those people in our lives right now whom we love, and at this time they don't yet know or love Jesus for themselves. That's when this gets real, when we consider that reality of hell and those people in our hearts. It's hard. 2 Thessalonians says, "He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious might." It's not easy to hear, is it? It's not easy to say, because I'm thinking of those people in my life. We're thinking of those people. But we can't, if Jesus says this is true, we cannot ignore it. We cannot ignore it. This isn't theoretical. We need to do this for their sake. We need to let it affect us, because if we don't and we ignore it, then it is almost certain that they will ignore it and likely face this. It's heavy, it's hard to hear, but it is important. If you are here this morning and you're visiting and you haven't made that decision, then please don't hear this coming from spite or any. The warning comes from a heart of compassion and love. Jesus has done everything to make this clear in the warnings he gives in the gospel, in the Bible. God loves you. His longing is for you to come to him, to put your trust in him. He's demonstrated that. The Father giving his Son, the Son giving his life. If you haven't done it yet, come to him this morning. Don't waste another minute. Make it certain. All right, let's go. Number four, we want to keep living this one out because we're on Jesus' orders. So we have the commandment in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. And we know that one well. And so we've recently been looking at 1 Corinthians, and I like the way Paul puts it in chapter 9. He says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews." And then he goes on to the Gentiles, to the weak, I became weak. And verse 22, at the end of that little section, he says, "I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some." And I love that one because that, I think, gives us more of a picture. It's a whole of life thing. He says, "I become all things to all people so that by all possible means." I love it. You know, whoever I've got to be, wherever I've got to go, whatever I've got to do, I'll do it. So, you know, it's to the car nuts, I'll be a car nut. To the kids at the playgroup, you know, I'll be a kid. It's whatever, it's finding that common ground to be able to connect with that person and then build that relationship up. If I've got to love Pokemon, you know, I'll love Pokemon. If I've got to eat vegan, I'll eat vegan. Whatever it is, it's doing that thing to build rapport, establish trust and a relationship so you can have that conversation and then keep it moving forward. All right, the only way I think you can get this one wrong, this commandment, is to say nothing, to remain silent, to avoid it. And I know it's scary to speak up at times. I feel that same thing. But we're promised the Holy Spirit. We're promised the words in that moment. And where we can't answer a question, just say, "Let me get back to you. Great question. Let's meet again and talk more about it." And that way, it's all about continuing the relationship. I think more and more, it's not about winning a debate. It's about a relationship. And if you can't answer a question in that moment, the follow-up means you can continue that relationship. It can even work out better for you in the end. All right, last one, number five. We do this for our own encouragement. 1 John 1 says, "We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. There's just something great about getting to talk to someone about something you love. You know, when you find that person who's also into stamp collecting and you can just talk about stamps for years, you know, it's one of those moments. That's one of those things. Whatever your thing you love, when you get to find that person, talking it through, that makes your joy complete. Okay? It's the same with Jesus. The joy of following Jesus, and part of that is sharing it with others. And if you're lacking joy in your life, in your relationship with Jesus, maybe it's because you're not sharing him with others. Have you ever been in one of those conversations where you find yourself, maybe it's in that workplace, you didn't think there was any Christian, then finally you find a Christian there and you're able to share that, and it's just so exciting to meet them, and being able to talk that through, it extends that joy, it makes your joy complete. And it can be even better, I think, when you find yourself in a conversation with someone who wouldn't call themselves a Christian, but are interested in Jesus. They're hungry, they're asking questions. And in those kind of conversations, you just feel like, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm doing. And being able to talk that through, it just extends that joy. It completes it. So that's it. That's what I want to say there. The five reasons. I hope you feel convicted and convinced to live out this cause. And I said, we're going to do something practical. So open up your bulletins. Hopefully everyone got one. And hopefully you all grabbed a pen as well. And on the inside of there, on the second page, there's a title up the top. It says, people in my life who don't yet know Jesus. And then down underneath that, there's, I think, five spots to write down the name of someone in your life. It can be a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a work colleague, your hairdresser, your barista, your car mechanic. You know, some kind of relationship has been established with that person. I want you to grab a pen. If you don't have one, we might grab it. Yeah, you can put your hand up. We can find a pen for you. But think it through. We've got enough time to do this. Think it through. Write down a name. These are people in your life who don't yet know Jesus. And we've been talking about marks, 1 out of 10. So can we go to the next slide? And I've put up there, instead of marking where we're at, I want us to think about that person whom we've written their name down and mark where our conversation about Jesus with them is up to. So it might be at different phases. I could probably write, I've got non-Christian friends, I could probably fit in all of those categories. And so it might be different for you. They might not perfectly fit, but there might be someone in your life who you're yet to tell them you're a Christian. You know, and so, as I said, there's one column for you to mark where it's at, and then the column next to it is for you to think about, well, what is the next step to move that conversation forward? So for you, it might be the next step is just to tell them you're a Christian. Or the next step might be to invite them along to an event. Daisy Hill or the Quality Time, those are great things. Springbound next weekend, it's great for anyone, all age groups, food, market stalls, excellent. It might be that you've been sharing your faith with them for a while now, and the next step for you in that relationship might be number 5 there, and that is to invite them along to do One Life here at our church. We're running these groups regularly. It'd be great to see people getting them into that. So do that. You might need to finish it off in your own time. I might pray for us. I think we need to wrap up. But I want to encourage you, this is important. We want to live out this cause, and I don't want this to remain just in the theoretical. Oh, that's a good idea, Andrew. Nice talk. But I want us to be able to walk away and start to think about who are the people, what's something little I could do over the next week or two to keep that conversation about Jesus moving forward. I might pray for us while you're still writing stuff down. I'll pray for us and those people, the names we're writing. Let's do that. Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks for this time thinking about this important cause, this most important cause that you've called us to. Thank you that you've given us the good news. Thank you that we've heard about it and believed in it. and now are called to go with it. Father, I ask that you would please give us your courage and your spirit and your boldness. And Father, I want to pray particularly now for those names that we've written down. Lord, you know that they are important people to us, people that we love, people that we may have been praying for years and years. And we don't want to give up on them. Renew us with your strength and your energy. Renew us with your confidence and love, and help us to continue to pray for them, to continue to seek them for the gospel's sake in their lives. Help us to continue to take those little steps. Give us encouragement where we may feel discouraged from years of trying and not getting anywhere. But yeah, give us your help. And Father, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they would hear the gospel, receive it, and be saved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.